Opportunity is knocking. Open the door. It's time for Real Estate and Lifestyle Insights on 570 KVI. This is Lewis Howard Live.
Hey, this is Lewis Howard. Thank you for joining and being part of the conversation on another Sunday, coming to you live on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Hey, we had our inaugural show last week, and thank you for those who text me, email me, and hit me up, both with constructive criticism and compliments. Thank you so much for listening, and we want to continue to improve what we share with you each week. All right, so got another full hour for you today to talk about a few things. We'll talk about the hot market. Going to share a little bit about my background in real estate, a little bit more than I did last week. We'll also be talking about the unforgotten segment, the forgotten business sector. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, as well as just some upcoming events, and talk a little bit about actually what I did mention last week, is that I am a published author, have two best-selling books on Amazon, and we'll talk about one of those books in the final segment, as well as some cool upcoming stuff, as well as properties that are available. So just to start off, one of the things that I've just enjoyed about 25 years of real estate is just every day is a new exciting day, and I've just had a great run of a career. And one of the things that I've been able to see over my time is four recessions, wars, the Grand Recession, and really to see how people have responded through that. Certainly that's not the conversation today because the market is so hot and so strong, but you learn a lot in those downtimes. And so much of what I get to share with our team every day is really the result of those years of experience when you didn't get a sale every day, or you set an open house or build a product and they didn't come. Right? So these are things that in today's market, most people don't think about, but those of us who have any length of experience are always aware of how we got here and is usually where we came from. And I've been fortunate in my career. I started really just doing property management, doing apartment developments Kent, of all places. I worked with a California developer, and that was really my foray into real estate, really doing the property management and sort of lease piece of real estate. And I've been very fortunate throughout my career because I've been mentored by self-made millionaires, have been my mentors, developers, investors, entrepreneurs. So you'll hear me talk a lot about real estate and also entrepreneurship, because that's really part of a lot of what I've gotten to enjoy, observe, and really learn from. So I always like to tell people this, is that when you're listening to me, you're just not listening to me. You're listening to other people who have shared their knowledge and experience with me over the years. So I always want just to throw that out there as a caveat. And although I'm a great sourcer of resources and information, I always like learning from people because that is a great way to do. So each week I just unfold a little bit more of my track record and history as we sort of parallel that with the information that we share. So let's talk about the market, because the one word that's describing our real estate market right now is hot. Hot, hot, hot. And one of the things that we're looking at, I always tell our team, is that we have what we call a scale. And that scale talks about whether it is a buyer's market or it's a seller's market. Well, most of you listen to me, you know pretty much it is a seller's market. But what makes it a seller's market and what makes it a buyer's market? Well, generally, it's the old economic theory of supply and demand. Right? When supply is low, demand is high. And that favors the seller of the supply, right? So in our case, it is the seller of properties, sellers of homes that controls that. So in the market that we're looking at, is it is definitely a seller's market. But we've seen in years like 2010, 2011, 2012, that was a buyer's market because there was more product than the demand. And so whenever you're looking at that scale, that helps you understand in terms of negotiating power and strength, deal structures, and all those kinds of things. But when you look at the median value of the market in Seattle right now, its average median price is $624,700. And that's the latest report according to Zillow. Seattle home values have gone up 11.4% over the past year, and Zillow predicts that they will rise another 3.8% within the next year. So values continue to increase. They're continue to go up. The median list price per square foot in Seattle is, ready for it, $437 a square foot. That is pretty rad if you're a seller, high if you're a buyer. I have to just date myself a little bit. I remember when the average was like $150 a square foot. So that just tells you where we've come from in terms of what people are paying for homes. Seattle metro area, so that is all kind of surrounding areas of Seattle, is about $211 per foot. So this is just giving you, as you're out shopping today and you're looking around or you're having conversations with realtors, you know, this is stuff that even if you're looking at Zillow and you're looking at Redfin, what does that mean to you in terms of how you are structured? I always say this, there's a difference between information and knowledge, right? Information is what we can get at our fingertip. Knowledge is, what do I do with it, right? So it's my goal with our show, Lewis Howard Live, is to have you get the information and then let's put some bumpers of knowledge around it so that you can execute and set yourself up for success. So that's the condition of the market is hot right now, right? Currently, homes listed, median price of homes listed is $599, and the median rent price in Seattle is pretty high, $2,400. That's what you're paying. And what is $2,400 good? We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show of what that number gets you in terms of rents. So everything is hot. Why is Seattle so hot? Because we are an in-migrating job sector of the West Coast. And everywhere you look and you start naming industries, not just tech, but healthcare, biosphere, there's just so many, Boeing, all the things, Starbucks, we're just feeding a lot of economic opportunities into our market area. So that helps drives it. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the job numbers. And then in the next segment, we're going to talk about, for those that are out looking for new construction, a new home, how do you choose that right builder? Right. So we're going to talk about some of the things that really is important to look at when you are looking at a builder. And what are the important characteristics am I looking for in new construction? What's the difference between custom builder, home builder? So we'll talk about those things, because as you're looking and you're in this hot market and you're in this fray, you're going to be making decisions a lot quicker and a lot faster. And so having that proper intel is going to be a key to making good decisions, successful decisions, and hopefully prosperous decisions at the end of the day. So you're listening to Lewis Howard Live. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after these words.
Now, back to Lewis Howard Live.
Welcome back. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Lewis Howard Live show, broadcasting on KVI Talk Radio in Seattle. And I am just having a great time being able to be here and share some cool insider information with all things business, real estate, tech, entertainment, lifestyle, finance, you name it, we're going to give it to you. So we thank you for being part of the conversation. And also as a reminder, if you want to reach out, you can go to our webpage, which will be up this week, lewishowardlive.com, as well as hit me up on email, lewis@lhoward360.com. So thank you for joining joining in. And hopefully, if you get one thought out of the show, it's worth you tuning in and getting focused on something that can make a difference. It's been my whole motto of my career for 25 years is I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. I just want to be the guy that walks out with one thing out of the room and it can make a difference. And having done over $1 billion in business and 5,000 in transactions and never been sued, it worked for me. So I think I have something at least you can walk off this show with and be able to use. So we're talking about in the first segment just how hot the Seattle market is and putting some perspective on that. What does that mean to you if you're a buyer, if you're a seller, if you're a developer, if you're a builder, and even if you're a lender? What does it mean? Because sometimes when we have hot markets, people just go through and it's just going so fast, so furious that nobody has time to stop, slow down, and smell the coffee of what's going on in the market. And the market has cycles. What goes up will come down. What part of that cycle we're in, I don't know. If you talk to different economists nationwide, they're saying we're end of a 7-year cycle. We should start to see a drop or a decline. If you look regionally and you look at some of the numbers that's going on, it doesn't say that. There are 60-some cranes in downtown Seattle. We have 5,000 people a month getting driver's license, right? 1,000 people a week have grown since 2010. Doesn't look like an end immediately in sight. But you always want to be cautious and aware that it could change on a dime. Let me just tell you, I was running a $100 million company in 2008. I had a front row seat, and I'm telling you, it changed on a dime. We didn't see it coming. So sometimes when change happens, it's quick. Right. So right now we're all enjoying that. And speaking of that, look at some of the job numbers. And real estate is really driven by new construction. Construction is a real big piece of small business and real estate success. And so our builders play a big role in that. We're going to talk about that, about how to choose the builders. But one of the things we're seeing is that the job market is that March had 98,000 new jobs compared to 235,000 in February. So a little bit down. A warm winter has led to more construction jobs in January and February. Poor weather in March dragged the industry down. Now, what does that matter, weather and construction? Because when you're building, you got to have certain weather conditions. If you're pouring foundations, if you're doing framing, if you're doing drywall, you don't want to buy a house where they just rush through bad weather. And that's what you will see when you have cracks and stress cracks showing up in homes because they didn't dry out properly or they pushed through the bad weather and they didn't run through the proper cycles. Or you're trying to dig a hole and doing it in the middle of winter is a little bit tough. So unemployment continues to drop and average hourly earnings are up. So there's still a supply problem with regard to labor and new construction. And so that drives up home prices. Your electrical, your plumbing, drywall, asphalt, landscapers, all of those individuals and companies that are part of new construction, if they can't find the labor to help them do the job, it costs more and it'll actually drive up costs. Right. Women, teens and Latinos all found jobs in large numbers. So, again, when you look at where that employment force is coming from, there you have it. And on average, the first 3 months of the year are in line with 2016. So we're continuing to see growth in new construction. So if I'm looking for a signal, that's where I'm going to start looking for. If I start to see declines in new construction home starts, if I start to see a continued decline in the job market, then I will start to become the mindset of the end might be near. So look for those. But as long as you see good, strong job numbers and healthy consumer confidence, that usually indicates that we are still on the way. So if you just joined us, I'm Lewis Howard, Lewis Howard Live, and we're just talking about all things real estate, business, and finance. And we just got through talking about the hot market, kind of just getting a sense of what the market is and being able to put perspectives to that. One of the other indicators that we like to take a look at when you're looking at numbers and real estate and the economy of real estate sales is the number of trustee sales, and that is where foreclosures have occurred and people have defaulted on the property and they're now being sold by the trustee or trustee deeds. The high from 2000 to the present, so this is a 17-year look, the high was 1,600 in one single year, and now our latest numbers showing 206. So substantially those numbers are down. The lowest numbers was 162 in a year. So we're seeing a decline in defaults, and that's a good number. So that means that more and more people are being able to make their mortgage, they're being able to keep their home or coming up with some modification alternative that's allowing them to keep their homes. So trending, looking at active listings, high 12,310. Our current one is at 1,700. So that mirrors the conversation is that we're selling more houses that are being put on the market. Low numbers, 1,434. So we're still not at the lowest low, but we're getting there pretty quick. And warranty deeds, and what warranty deeds are, just tells you when a transfer of a purchase has gone from one party to another. And usually we have high on an annual basis is about 6,263, right, on an annual basis. Right now we're at 3,580. And again, that's tied to inventory. So you can kind of see where those numbers sort of line up, and the message becomes the same. Not enough listings, not enough homes for sale, and those homes that are out there for sale, prices are going to keep increasing, right? So that's what all those numbers really mean. So if you're a buyer, it's competitive. If you're a seller, pop the champagne because it's $19.99 for you. Right. That's the difference. All right. So let's talk about those that are out there looking for new construction. There's a lot of home choices that you can choose. But when you decide to go for new construction, you're actually entering a different realm of real estate. And that is the realm of builders, new construction, new homes. And so part of that is choosing a home builder. Right, I got to choose the home builder or choose the type of home. Most people start with real estate is looking at location, right? That's an old saying, location, location, location. But within that location, you've got builders, you've got lots, you've got different things that are going on in that particular area. So one of the things I wanted to just really help with today is really talk about choosing a builder. And before you choose a builder, you really need to understand the type of builders that build homes, because that's going to set up what the relationship is going to be like once you approach this builder to purchase a home or enter into a contract for them to build you a home and so forth. Right. So first of all, there's a custom home builder, and a custom home builder is essentially a builder that is basically building maybe one, two lots. They're not a big builder. They don't have a big company overhead. They're just simply going out and they are building a high-end home or just a one-off home. That's a very different type of builder than probably most builders. And so you'll see those builders in different neighborhoods and so forth. The other type builder is going to be a bigger builder. That is a production builder. That's a factory, right? Because they're building X number of homes every year. And those would be your national builders like a D.R. Horton, a Toll Brothers. So those builders are going to sell homes very differently than, say, the custom home builder who's got a lot more time to put in details and features. When you're dealing with a production builder, it's a bigger operation and a bigger company. So we're going to continue to talk about just the difference. And then I'll share with you just some insights that you'll need to know to help you decide how to choose a builder. You're listening to Lewis Howard Live on KVI. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
With your real estate and lifestyle insights, this is Lewis Howard Live.
All right, and we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Lewis Howard Live. Thank you if you're just joining in. Thank you for being part of the show, part of the conversation, and the dialogue that is business, real estate, and finance. Happy to be here every Sunday to bring you some wisdom, insight, and expertise to move you forward in the conversation. And hey, we don't care if you're 8 or 80, we got something for you. So we appreciate you taking time. And tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. And you can get the show online as we're broadcasting. You can also email me, Lewis at lhoward360.com. And also you can go to lewishowardlive.com. We'll have that up and going for you. Just finished a brand new logo. You can tell me what you like or don't like about it, and we'll get you set up to send you emails and alerts of things that we're going to be doing with the show. So we've just been talking about covering about the real estate market, the hot and cold aspect of it, more hot than cold, and we started talking about builders and choosing a home builder. So I left off with just describing the different type of builders, the custom builder, the production builder, the urban infill builder. So if you live in Seattle, where we're doing this show, that's where the majority of building is happening, which is they're scraping one house and putting up two or three, or scraping one house, put another house up. So if you go to Ballard right now, which is the area just a little bit from where I am, it is filled with urban, what we call urban infill builders. And so those are different type of builders where they're just building two, what we call two packs, three packs, four packs, kind of small, condensed, vertical style homes. That's one type of builder. And we talked about the production builder, the one-off builder. They're just buying a lot and they're building some. That may be for you. It may be for the general public. But you have to understand, what type of builder am I dealing with? And I would say the most market ready builder is going to be that production builder, because they're going to have a model home that you can go into. They're going to have merchandising. They're going to demonstrate their product for you. They're going to have a full-time sales team there for you. So you're going to be able to get lots of resources, lots of information from a production builder. If you go into an urban infill builder, very different operation, very down and dirty, very simple. They're not going to have fancy marketing brochures. You might not even have a sign out front. So the urban infill type builder is very different kind of builder. That doesn't mean that they're better or worse than a production builder or a merchant builder. They're just a different type of operation. And so just understand, especially if you're moving into the area and you're trying to understand more about how our housing market and how new construction work, first things, understand the kind of builder that you are dealing with. And across the country, you have a lot of merchant builders. You have a lot of established builders that have big model complexes and things like that. And to some degree in our area, if you go outside into King County and Bellevue and maybe Auburn, Tacoma, you'll see more of that. But in Seattle, it is more of the urban infill sort of style of home. All right, so let's talk about some things that will be important as you go up to talk to a builder or discuss potentially purchasing that home. Number one is to define your needs. What's the size? What's the type? What's the price range of the home that you are looking at? I just gave you the average price of $624 in the Seattle area. So that's probably the average price. So if you're looking to $600,000 to $800,000, what does that buy me? Does that meet my size parameters? Does that meet my location parameters, right? And Seattle is broken up by neighborhoods. So you'll be looking at different neighborhoods that, you know, Leschi is going to be different than Ballard. It's going to be different from West Seattle. So different areas are going to have different type sizes and shapes and scopes of the type of homes that you're looking at. But so it starts out with understanding sort of your needs. So that's where information can be great. You can go to walkscore.com. You can go to Zillow. You can go to Redfin and start just gathering information on where would I like to live. I know Walkscore is important to buyers. I know that school districts are important. So having that information first. Number two is experience count. The experience of a builder does count in the quality of the home that they're going to build for you. Okay, so let me say that again. Experience does count. You're going to have a different experience from a brand new builder than you have someone that is a third generation builder that's been doing this for 30 or 40 years. They know what they're doing at that point. And so like real estate, I see the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to builders. And there's some great builders out there, Sage Homes, Depp Homes, Isola, different builders out there that are doing a really good job in their marketplace. And there's some builders out there doing a really bad job. Okay, let's just be clear. Not all builders are doing a great job with their product. And some of that has to do with labor shortages. Some of that just has to do with quality details, a lot of different things, and yet they're asking top dollar price. So I want a builder that's doing a great job with their product. I want a builder that's got good experience, and I want a builder that's going to also meet the needs of me and my family. Right? So those are important. Are there past buyers happy, right? Can you find resources that tell you what their experiences are? Will Yelp tell you? Will Zillow tell you? Can you find an experience rating for that builder? If it is not, then you got to ask more questions. You got to find out, what is my experience? Why? Because the average person stays in a home 3 to 5 years. So you're going to be at least in that home for that length of time, and you want to understand if something breaks, if something goes wrong, or more importantly, when I go to resell, what's the quality of my product. So we're talking about how to choose the right builder. What's right in a builder and what's wrong in a builder, right? So no reputation, poor quality, lousy past customer experience. That's what's wrong in a builder. Right? Warranty and service. Will that builder stand behind what they've built? Will they offer you some sort of warrantable service? Right? It's like going buying a brand new automobile. I want to get some warranty or service. Why? Because I'm dealing with an imperfect product. A home is an imperfect product. There are things that happen. We live where we are in a lot of rain, a lot of water. It can make products imperfect. So you want to know that the builder is going to be able to stand behind and service that product. Those are questions you've got to ask your realtor, your broker up front, that you've got to do your homework. So it's not about just getting on Zillow and finding out what the dollars per square foot is and what the price is. I need to know what's the reputation of the person that I'm about to pay $750,000 for a home. Is that something that is going to be a viable investment for me, right? So we talked about that resale. So when your contract is done with Amazon or your corporate company and you need to get out of here, can you resell that, right? Is there a viable resale market for you to do that? That plays. I can tell you that as someone that was an executive with a home building company on the east side for a long time, we had a great name in resale. We had one of the best names in resale. It was so good that every agent put it in the resale. So having a name that resales as well as sells the first time out is very valuable to you as a consumer. Do they have other product that they've built that you can go take a look at and see what they've done and see the comparable of what they're doing, especially if you're buying in the early on phases of construction, right? I'm looking for those signs of quality, workmanship. I'll tell you a secret that I always share just between you and me. One of the best secrets to tell the quality of a home builder, the quality of a project, is when you walk on it, how clean is it, right? How clean is that site? Does that builder make sure that after every trade has come through, they sweep up and they clean up after themselves? That right there is a sign that that builder cares about their product and is detailed, because if they're clean during the construction process, let me tell you, they're going to be clean when they finish that home for you. If they're messy during the construction process, you are probably just seeing a sign to come. So we're going to continue to wrap up with a couple more points on choosing a builder that's right for you. We're going to jump on to another topic, but you stay right with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Lewis Howard Live.
Now, back to Lewis Howard Live.
Hey, welcome back. This is Lewis Howard Live in Seattle on Talk Radio, KVI 570. can't think of a better place to be on a Sunday sharing you some cool inside information. I hope you're getting something. If you've just joined us, you have missed some great information, but hey, you can find it somewhere. We'll give you direction. If you email me, lewis@lewishowardlive.com, we'll be able to get you some information, or lewis@lhoward360.com. We can get you caught up to speed. But we've just been sharing about the market, the hot market, the pitfalls of a hot market, and talking about how to choose the right builder. If you're in new construction, you're out there and you've decided that you want a new home for you and your family, what do I need to look for? What are good signs and what are bad signs? So we've just talked about, just a quick recap, of past buyer satisfaction with a home builder, warranty and service, resale value, signs of quality, materials and information, past projects, industry involvement, and that's an important one. How involved is the builder in the industry? We get that they're busy and they want to make money and get their home sold, but we like people that are involved. There's a company called BDR Homes. Great guy. Happen to know Todd Bennett. I've known him a number of years. Built one of the first green homes in Seattle back in the day. Great guy. Gets involved with the Seattle Master Builders, which also is another resource if you want to really check and see the track record of a builder. Call the Master Builders Association. We also have a group that I'm a founding member of called the New Home Council. We founded in 2008. We got 1,000 members nationwide, and about 60% of our members are builders. So you can check out our website. It is thenewhomecouncil.com. Tell them Lewis Howard sent you, and I think we'll get you a membership for free. How about that? Can't beat that with a baseball bat. So we got lots of resources if you take your time to do the homework and check out what you're looking for in that builder. And if you want to get more information, again, you can email me at lewis@lhoward360.com. Share with you some of my tips and insights on working with builders and what's important with them. All right. So one of the things we talked about last week is we called a segment called The Forgotten. I'm going to probably change the name, called The Unforgotten, right? Because we're going to be remembering those groups and segments of our culture and business and market that really got left behind during the recession, and coming back from that has been a challenge. How do I know that? Because I talk to business people every day. I hear from them every day. I talk to people that work with families that are still struggling, that are still having to get subsistence and handouts. And so we know the homeless challenge in Seattle is growing greater by the day. So there is a disenfranchised group, our veterans. And so each week, again, I just want to single out organizations that are working with people that we know, that we want to know, that are helping them get back on their feet, helping them get back in business. I talked last week about the Millionaire Charity Club that I happen to have a relationship with, as well as other organizations. So today, I want to talk about the small business person. You know, small business is the engine that drives America's economy, right? Everywhere you look, small business, whether you go into the teriyaki place, the dry cleaners, the grocery store, the mechanic, that's small business. That's a business that gives us the convenience of living our lives better, ride sharing programs, right? So all of these are individuals that had an idea, that came up with something, that needed financing, that needed somebody to believe in them, that needed an investor, and got off the ground. And maybe at some point, things didn't go right. Most businesses fail within the 2 or 3 years of their existence, right? But there are others that they fight on and they thrive on. And many got caught in the regulatory snare that has just kept businesses from getting through. And the great thing is with our culture is that you can go out and get money now through different sources. You know, you got crowdfunding, you got angel investors. So there's lots more resources available, family, friends, right, that can help you. One of my favorite shows is Shark Tank. All right, have you seen Shark Tank? If you haven't, it is worth a watch. And one of my favorite guys on the show, there's some famous people, there's Mark Cuban and the guy that's the founder of FUBU and a couple other people, a real estate broker that has made, you know, almost $1 billion in the New York market. But one of my favorite is Mr. Wonderful. That's his nickname on the show. And he's absolutely brutal with entrepreneurs who are presenting ideas. And so one of the things that really I see a lot on the show when I watch it, and he's talking to entrepreneurs and people that are starting up businesses, one of the things that they want to know is, how much have you sold? Right? Who are your customers? And so one of the things I realized that if you're an entrepreneur out there, and maybe you've hit bottom, or you're out there and you've got a idea that you want to start a business, I want to share with you just a couple resources, but really some practical stuff that you need to think about growing a business and having a business. And real estate has been a business for me, and other aspects of business that I'm involved in. And they all principally operate the same way when it comes to getting it up off the ground. You got a great idea, and it starts with that. And there's a lot of people with great ideas, but they don't go anywhere, right? And so one of the big important things for entrepreneurs, whether you've been thrown to the ground or you're still out there fighting, is you got to have a written plan, right? As a business entrepreneur, it's not enough to have the idea, you want to have the plan. Can you proof your business? It's one of the things that on Shark Tank, they ask everyone, can you proof your business? And the number way you proof your business is sales. How many sales did you have? How many people bought your product or services? How much is your product or service? And who is going to buy that? That is the proofing of your business. Right. There is a quick way to run an investor, a bank off, is have no proof of your business, simply going on what you think or what you hope or what a few people told you you might do. Right. Who are your customers? Right. So as an entrepreneur, you really want to understand who your customers are. What are your sales? And an interesting question that they always ask is, how much do you pay yourself? And what I hear a lot from entrepreneurs is they don't pay themselves anything. And for whatever reason, that is a turnoff to an investor who says, well, you're not paying yourself, then your business is not proof, because you are having to run that business. The business is a business when you don't have to run it. If you have to run it, it's a job. Right. So you have to be able to have money built in to pay yourself. I see a lot of commercial deals where we're involved in, where we call it mom and pop small business operation. And we'll see people that basically they don't pay themselves. They have this great performa and this great financial sheet with a great return on investment, but it doesn't include salary for management. Right? Which could affect those numbers. So you have to be thinking of paying yourself. And of course, financial projections down the road, 3 years, 5 years, what's my return on investment if I'm an investor going into you? So those are things that I've kind of learned just watching Shark Tank, right? Nevertheless, it's a great insight. And so my business resource today is a Small Business Administration. So reach out to them, because they are great with financial assistance, free counseling, women's business ownership, special loan programs, veterans. So there is an office right here in the Seattle area. So check out the Small Business Administration. That's a great resource. And I mentioned the president is reviewing regulations that will hamper small businesses. So hopefully it'll get easier to get loans, get approvals, get resources that you need to be able to get your business up and running. I have just enjoyed being able to share with you the insights and information today. Remember, we're here every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and you can get us online, or you can reach out to me, Lewis, at lhoward360.com, and tell a friend to tell a friend. Check out the show, and we love to hear your comments and input on the show. Hey, have a great Sunday. Buy something, sell something, and make a good return on your time and investment. We'll see you next week.